Welcome to the ITM Podcast with Steve Perrault and Joey Cabrini.
This is episode 186 of the ITM Podcast, presented by SeatGeek. We are the unofficial podcast of your Boston Red Sox. My name is Steve Perrault. His name is Joey Capone. And Red Sox pitchers and catchers have officially reported to spring training. World Series or bust for this team. How you doing, Joey?
Pretty good. By the time people hear this, they will have officially reported.
Yeah, I think Kenley's right. The only one that isn't there yet. Is saying something.
Could it be
a Kenley Jansen trade rumor?
Let's just get that going. How upset is he? Is he super pissed? Just a little pissed? That's how people talk about trade rumors.
I can't believe anybody would show up early. Why is anybody there early?
Doesn't it always kind of feel like people are trying to get their points? You're trying to get your points early, right? It's like, look at me. I'm ready to go. I showed up early. I saw MLB post a video of Francisco Lindor. I think it was on Friday or something. Like, dude, come on. A whole week early, stop it. You're trying to get your points. I don't like when people try too hard for the points.
I mean, I guess you could argue that with this Sox team, you need an us-against-the-world mentality if anything is going to happen, right? You need like a, screw it, we'll get there early, we'll work extra hard, we'll go to story camp, we'll, you know, put in the extra effort. I guess it's good to see that. I prefer that over the opposite. Like, if everybody was there doing the bare minimum, that would just be even worse.
That is true. So I guess it's, I mean, this team's ready to go, dude. They are ready to run through a brick wall, and I am so excited to follow along. So we had some comments today by some important Red Sox individuals. And which ones, to you, Joey, I wanted to start with Cora. When you heard the quotes from Cora, maybe saw some of his media availability today, what jumped out to you? What was the key takeaway? I had a good handful, but what were you hearing? What really hit your ears the right way, right? What hit your ears really good?
The big one that I don't have the quotes in front of me, so I'm definitely going to misquote it here, so please correct me.
When he said, I hate being the manager of this team, I think you're paraphrasing, but
it was he said something like, I hate this team, I hate this city, it's too cold, I don't want to be here, front office stinks, ownership doesn't care. It was the deflecting. It was the big time, I don't want to talk about it stuff. The quote when he was asked, you know, and he said, like, I don't want this to be a story. And they tried to push on it. And he's like, I don't want to talk about me.
Yeah.
That kind of just said it all to me. Do you have that one in front of you? The exact words there?
I think he just said, I don't want to talk about that right now, when he was asked about his contract not going beyond this upcoming season. Some other quotes from our guys piece, Ian Brown. Shout out to downtown Ian Brown. Though Cora doesn't have a contract beyond 24, he was at ease discussing his uncertain future. It's interesting because he did talk about it a little bit, but then also said he didn't want to talk about it. No, not at all, said Cora, asked if contract limbo was a stressor. Like I've been saying all along, this is where we're at. And whatever happens in the future is going to be a family decision. I'm glad that I'm here. Cora's run in Boston has been memorable, filled with its shape of, also known as share, of ups and downs. This organization gave me a chance to become a big league manager in the fall of 2017. And then, more surprisingly, and I take it by heart, these look like words that aren't supposed to be back-to-back, after the suspension, they gave me a chance to come back right after that. Cora said, I appreciate that. I never thought I was going to be back managing as soon as I did after the mistake that I made. And for that, we appreciate that. This is family for us. We love it in Boston, but at the same time, we understand as a family how it works. It's a business, and at the same time, we're very happy where we're at. So to answer your question straightforward, no, it doesn't bother me. So
the one
is there
I
some is there some like lines between the lines there? I think there's some words between the words that he didn't say but kind of implied.
I'll tell you this, that reads like a farewell Instagram post, doesn't it? It does a little bit. He's given me so much. I'll never, be able to say thank you enough for all this organization's done for me. Boston, you'll always have a piece of my heart. But the one that I'm talking about isn't actually a quote, but it's a spear tweet. He said Cora didn't want his uncertain job status beyond 2024 to be a story. Lording over the season. asking if he wants to be with the Sox beyond 2024, he said he didn't want to discuss himself. So that's the one I was talking about. When he was asked directly, do you want to be here? He's like, I'm not talking about it. So that to me, I don't know. I'm always, in my mind, it's always a jerk store kind of situation for me where I'm like, oh, I should have said this, should have said that. And it seems like there's an easy answer there all the time. But he kind of did give the storybook answer that I'm imagining in my head to the question that you just threw out there, which is, you know, we'll see. It's all about family. We'll make the decision when the time comes. I'm grateful for blah, 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 blah. It's a bunch of, I don't know. It's out of the book stuff. It's what you expect. But I think just with the general pessimism right now, it's hard not to run with it and imagine the worst case scenario.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, excuse me. It's a tough situation because I'm a huge Alex Cora guy. We're big Alex Cora guys, always have been. There's no scenario where this isn't a big deal. Cora's contract situation is going to be discussed a lot. This is going to be, I don't want, distraction can maybe be thrown around a little too much, but there's no scenario where your World Series winning manager, I know it was in 2018, I know now it's 6 years ago, but a World Series winning Red Sox manager in a contract year that does not have a contract extension for a team that is expected to finish in last place again, that's going to be a storyline. And there's no way to shake it. And Cora knows that. Cora knows that. And honestly, if he wants out after this year, because like you allude to, Joey, there are some, you know, little breadcrumbs there. Like it sounds like it's kind of leading towards what could be a farewell message. We're obviously not there yet, but it did a little, it gave some reflecting today, his quotes. If Cora wants out after this season, can anyone blame him?
No.
Like, considering what's happened here, and understandable that he deserves some of the blame for how this has gone the last couple of years, but for the lack of ingredients, that's what I always come back to. Cora knows that he doesn't have the ingredients needed to make a postseason team. He is well away. He's cooking up brownies right now, Joey. And he's like, we don't have eggs. Guys, we don't have any flour. Do we have butter? We don't even have any butter. We don't have literally anything. All we have is the brownie mix. I can't make brownies out of the mix. We have none of the other ingredients. Rafael Devers is the brownie mix. He's like he's the core. He's the thing that you love. He's the sweets. He's the most enjoyable part of the brownie. But you don't have any of the other ingredients to go with the brownie mix. And that's what Alex Cora is looking at with this team right now. He's well aware that it's highly unlikely that he can make this into a playoff team. And the way he was answering the questions today, Joey, of, you know, offseason not being done yet, and, you know, we still have time, and, you know, those guys, they're doing everything they can for trades and signing guys. And it's like, he's saying all the right things, but I've been saying it, we're going to keep saying it, Alex Cora is well aware that he does not have the ingredients necessary to make something significant with this team. And that's been the case for a while. So if he wants out, it's going to be hard to blame him.
I feel like he said that today. I know that I'm looking back, I don't see a quote, but I feel like I heard him say that this team is not what he expected and the offseason didn't go the way they planned and all that. I know Breslow had stuff that alluded to what I'm saying, but didn't it just feel like Cora, I don't know, just the air of the quotes felt like he was like, oh yeah, is what it is.
I mean, Breslow's direct line to that, we'll just might as well mention it now. Breslow said, things haven't come together in maybe a way that I anticipated, which is like,
I mean, I have like an hour's worth of thoughts on that. Yeah,
I know. I'm like, same, bro. Same. That's how we're looking at it. Probably shouldn't be able to say that, but okay.
Cora. While we're still on Cora.
Yes, yeah.
There's an element, dude. I think, first of all, judging off what I see on the internet, on the web, I feel like there's a good portion of Red Sox fans who have already accepted his departure. I feel like there's so many Red Sox fans who are just like, oh man, it's going to stink when Alex Cora is, you know, managing the Dodgers next year or whatever. Or don't expect him to come back. And I also, the growing sense that I'm seeing, dude, is that, you know, if you love something, let it go. Like, maybe we don't deserve Alex Cora. Like, he doesn't want to manage his whole life. He said explicitly this week he doesn't want to manage another 10 years, which is a smaller window than I thought. So why would we want to just like waste those years? I feel like he's already pretty antsy that the past few have been wasted, and has been pretty vocal about that. So if, you don't want to, you know, hug your dog till you smother it. Is that the phrase?
Hug your dog till it dies? I think that's the phrase. Yeah. You don't want to hug your dog into death.
Yeah.
I think that's how it goes. Yeah. You don't want to be like Christopher Maldesanti and sit on your dog and kill it by sitting on it. So
it's a little different scenario, but yeah, you've been watching while Sopranos.
While you hug it. Yeah, I'm rewatching Pranos, so that's how it goes. You just get those references. That's how it's going to go. But yeah, dude, we call it Pranos, whatever. Yeah. We're watching the prawns. But yeah, to that point of Cora mentioning the, you know, 10 years of managing and not wanting to do this forever type of deal, I did some math, Joey. Alex Cora has been managing the Boston Red Sox for 46% of his retired from playing baseball years.
Wow.
So he's basically been managing this team for half of his post playing career life. And that's another reason why, if I'm Cora, like, I'm kind of ready to not be doing this anymore. Like, I'm ready for the next challenge. I'm ready to, you know, manage a team that actually goes for it and isn't just now pitching some new narrative to the fan base. Some, oh, the youth is coming, blah, 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 blah. AC has had to, there's another layer of this where Cora has had to just kind of eat shit here. He's had to consistently in the last 4 or 5 years had to be like, oh, well, you know, we're excited about this. And, you know, we're excited. When he's not excited about whatever the hell they're trying to, whatever the hell the front office and ownership is trying to feed the fan base, Cora's not excited about it. And he would prefer it to be the way that we want it to be. So why would he want to stick around for that? Which sucks because I want Alex here. I want AC to stay. But I think, like you're saying, Joey, with the big portion of the fan base, I would fall in that group of you can't blame him. If he wants out after this season, you can't blame him. That's one of my biggest takeaways today, specifically hearing these quotes, is why would AC want to stick around considering how much he's given to this team? I think there was a huge portion of him that was like thankful that they gave him a second chance. We're past that. We're past the whole being thankful that he got a second chance thing.
That's why he said it.
He's
today.
Ready
get
to
get it out there to be like, look, I'm thankful. Yeah. Moving on. We're past it.
But we're past it. Yeah. He can manage any team now. I remember we interviewed him, you know, before he came back that second time, and he was like, oh, I'm ready to get booed. I'm ready to get destroyed. Everyone's gonna rip me. I don't think it. Outside of Yankee fans who are just garbage individuals, I don't think he really got destroyed. I don't think he was one of the, at least from the public's eye, like one of like the leads of this whole thing. People generally like Alex Cora for the most part. Like, he's basically kind of, you know, he's cleared the allegations.
I feel like I do see his name mentioned a lot.
But I'm just saying, I don't think the reaction was as bad as he thought it was going to be nationally.
Yeah.
On the, you know, from park to park scale. Of course, going to certain places like New York, you're going to get certain reactions. But my point being, Alex Cora is, you know, I think his thankfulness, his appreciation for the Red Sox giving him a second chance has probably internally for him worn off to the point where he is fully content with this being his last year with the team, if that's how it ends up being. And I don't think for him, I actually genuinely don't think for him, it's going to be a distraction. I think what's going to be a distraction is Pete Abe asking him about it every week. Like, I think that's what's going to be a distraction. It's not going to
get annoying really fast.
I don't think AC's going to be sitting up at night like, oh my God, what am I going to do next? Like, he's got endless opportunities. Worst case, he can go back into the booth and work for ESPN or Fox or wherever. There are jobs to be had for Alex Cora. I don't think he needs to worry about that. So,
and it's not like, you know, he has, I don't know how to word this. He has a connection to the team, to the city, and blah, blah, blah. But there's not the same core. It's not still Vasquez and Xander and Mookie and Devers. And the team is right on the cusp. And next year is the go year. And he's like, oh, man, I want to get back there to the World Series with these guys. I don't know if I can, you know, do I take a pay cut to stay here? And it's not that. He doesn't have to mull over anything. He gets to sit back and just take whoever offers him the biggest check or whatever he wants to do. Like you said, if he wants to go to the booth, if he wants to take a couple years and go back to Puerto Rico, whatever he wants to do, he's not going to be stressing over this at all, nor should he be. What I think is weird is I talked about it a little bit, but like the wasting his years, but the kind of manager that Alex Cora is in such like direct opposition to the construct of this roster.
Yep.
It's like Alex Cora is the kind of guy that you go for when you're going for it. To have him here it's so antithetical to what they're doing. Like, just get a career manager.
What did you just say?
I said antithetical.
Antithetical, Joe? Give me a
second. A-N-T-I. T-H-E-T-I-C-A-L.
All right, just give me a second. Antithetical, directly opposed or contrasted, mutually incompatible. Okay, you can keep going.
Yep. It's antithetical to what they're doing. So, like, just get a career manager. Get Joe Maddon here. Who cares? Just get somebody who's just been doing this forever, wants to keep doing it till they die. Just put someone in there. Just like, what a
dude,
waste.
Dude, Ron Renicki. What's Renicki up to?
Sure, who cares? Bobby Valentine's on Cameo. Get him back.
Yeah.
Why not?
Bobby V's just been wishing Joey happy birthday every year since he left the Sox.
I don't think he's done anything since that.
That's literally all he does. No, it is a good point that why even have a manager like Alex Cora who can get a lot out of players, but also he's like a big game manager. He's the guy you want in big situations. Now, I'm sure a lot of people listening are like, oh, I don't, because everyone just loves being negative. But Alex Cora is a guy that I always felt really good with in the wild card game against the Yankees. In basically every game in 2018, even though you probably could have actually had Renicki managing that team with how much talent they had. He was a guy that consistently, and now we're talking about him in past tense, that I consistently felt good having as the manager of the Red Sox when the lights were the brightest. The lights have not been bright on this team for quite some time, and there's no reason to think that this season is going to be any different. So I think behind closed doors, AC is genuinely not worried at all about the contract situation. I think if he had the choice, he would rather it be this way than be locked into some four-year deal with the Red Sox.
Oh my God,
I think he'd prefer this. It's like, yeah, okay, give me one more year here, and we'll see how it goes. If you guys consistently, even with a new CBO, are giving me nothing to work with, you make the decision for me so easy to leave. So easy to leave. So I think this is honestly a perfect situation for AC. And I got to say, he deserves it. He deserves to have a little say here. He deserves to have a little freedom. And in the back of his mind, know, well, this could be the last ride in a good way. Not like we're gonna prove him wrong. I mean, obviously, you always got to leave that sliver of hope out. Like when we were talking about the Netflix doc last week, you got to always leave that sliver of hope that it could just be some miraculous season. They sign Montgomery Duvall in the next 2 weeks. It's not going to happen. But still, you got to allow a baseball season to be a baseball season. I'm never going to turn my back to that. But Alex Cora is well aware of what's likely going to happen this season, and he's well aware that he can be free of it at the start of October, which for him is probably a beautiful thing considering what he's gone through the last few years.
I'm tired of seeing Alex Cora disappointed and borderline bored come August and September. Just seeing him.
Yeah, the dugout shots are tough when he's just like, God, man.
He's just pissed off and bored and being like, whatever, dude. I don't care. Leave Bear Claw out there. I
don't even care, dude.
Those are the worst. And this year is set up perfectly for those games to start happening in like May.
Yeah.
I don't want 5 months, 4 months of Alex Cora just like shaking his head, hat half on, spitting bubble gum out. Like, I don't want that. We don't want that. Yep. Just seeing a disappointed dad, you don't want that. I don't know. Spread your wings, man. At a certain point, if nothing changes, you know, in the coming weeks, or God forbid, in the coming year, yeah, I don't want him to just be here selfishly. Of course I want Alex Cora here because that gives the Red Sox a better chance of being a solid competitive baseball team. If they aren't willing to put themselves in the position to be a solid competitive baseball team, then there's no reason to keep them here.
Yeah. And it's been like that for a while. Do you think this is the last year of Cora?
Yeah, I do.
Weirdly enough, it like took me today to like, this just hit me in the face today. that like the urgency of this, because we didn't talk about this much before, right? I mean, we had alluded to it a little bit, like, he's got a year left. But in the back of my mind, I was like, oh, they'll probably extend him in the next month or two. Oh, no, they're not gonna. They're not gonna. This is going to be the last year of his contract, and it feels probable that he's not going to be back.
Yeah, and the whole Craig Council thing, just expanding what, you know, the ceiling is for what a manager can make, I think that Alex Cora is pretty highly valued, and I think that the Sox, believe it or not, you're going to lose your mind when you hear this, dude, but this is just what I think. This is a hot take. I think the Red Sox undervalue an asset that they have.
What?
So, yeah, I'm serious. So I think that they're going to probably make some bullshit offer, and then he's going to go out there and get some stupid money, and there's going to be a portion of Red Sox fans that go like, hey, I wouldn't pay Alex Cora that kind of money. And that's going to be that. And the Red Sox are going to be here without a manager, and then they'll interview 12 guys, and 11 will say no thank you, and then they'll give the 12th guy, Ron Renicki, the job. And
Renicki's coming back. Get ready.
Yeah. Trying not to roll into pessimism here. I'm really trying. But, I mean, honestly, even if things go well, even if it's a good season, even if they sign Snell, Monty, and the big bopper himself, Adam Duvall, I don't think that that changes his mind. I think that he wants to do the best thing for him, and that's probably a short-term, high AAV contract, and just do this for 2-3 years. Maybe win, go retire.
Also, when you're a World Series winning manager, you're kind of a made man. Like, it's not like managers go around needing to, like, stack up rings. Like, you never see that. It's like, oh, no, he's World Series winning manager Alex Cora. That's what he is until he's dead. And when he's dead, he's still won the World Series. So you can be dead and have still won the World Series as a manager. So
there's
literally
tons of guys who are dead who won the World Series.
Exactly. Yeah. So, like, they still have that claim. So,
would you
for
get
the
buried
rest
with
of
your
time?
Oh, you have a ring. I forgot you have a ring. Are you going to get buried with
I
your
do.
Ring?
You are the disrespect that almost just came out of your
sorry,
mouth as
sorry,
if I
sorry.
Didn't
I forgot,
have a
forgot.
World Series ring. Please. I am
I didn't
a
watch
2013.
The game you started, so I was
no,
sick.
It was bullpen. It was relief, damn it. I am a 2013 World Series champion. Put some respect on my name, Joey.
Damn you getting it. Buried in the ring or not?
Probably, dude. Probably. I mean, it's got my name on it.
You getting buried or cremated? What are you doing? Are you plans? Do you have plans yet?
Big time buried. Big time buried. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. There's no doubt about it. Yep,
you think
like a
hill, ocean view?
Nah, nothing too crazy. Nothing too. Yeah, ocean view sounds pretty good. Then again, I mean, you can't see anything because you'd be dead.
The end of the day, you're dead. So
you could give me the best view of all time. I'm not seeing it. I'm dead.
Yeah. It's really, you're just giving, like, your family a trip, you know? It's like, if you want to come see me, I'm out by the ocean. Like, I got to drive all the way over if I want to see Uncle Steve.
No, I know. It should probably just be, like, close to wherever the house ends up being, just so it's
just
convenient.
Put me in the backyard. I don't care. like a dog. Whatever.
Dude, I remember growing up, the first dog that I remember us having, Mosey, we buried him in the backyard, and then that was, like, a big thing. Apparently, that's illegal. I didn't know that. I didn't know you couldn't bury the dog in the backyard. Like, it was against, like, Hingham policy or something. We didn't say anything.
Well,
we just,
did you
we were like, don't say
like,
shit. Don't say shit. Don't tell anybody.
Did you dig into, like, the electrical lines or something? Like, did you not call
no,
things safe?
No, my guess is that's why, is that they always, the towns have the stupidest rules ever.
Oh, yeah.
I've learned a good handful of stuff from my dad, because he's been, like, his side job his whole life has been flipping houses, and he's really good at it. And so I've learned about, like, these town rules and laws that just would drive me nuts, Joey. The stuff that you have to abide by. It's like, why? It's just a classic situation of it's kind of always been like that. The amount of things in life, the older you get, it's just kind of always been like that. That answer sucks for everything, but it exists basically for everything. So,
dude, yeah, I own a place up in northern New Hampshire, right? Small little town. One of those, like, everybody's in your business towns. And I was having a fire out there one night, like in the backyard, campfire.
And I was lighting stuff on fire, and they had a problem with it. It was weird.
The fire department showed up, and I'm like, oh, do I need a permit or something? They're like, no, we just got to measure it. And they measured the fire with like a tape measure.
Yeah.
And they measured it, and they were like, you're good. Like, what?
Oh, my gosh.
If it was an inch wider, yeah, it's all.
If it's an inch wider, it would have burned the whole town down. But anyway, back to the Sox, dude.
Like the offseason. Did you see that?
What's up? Yeah, Breslow, like we mentioned earlier, things haven't come together in maybe a way that I anticipated. Honestly, gave me a chuckle, Joe. When I saw that one, I was like, you don't say. Things haven't come together in a way you probably didn't anticipate. It's wild when you really break down the lack of spending here. Because you mentioned it a few weeks ago. It hasn't changed, their free agent spending, since we brought it up like a month ago. But the Red Sox are behind seven other sub-500 teams in off-season spending. Can you name those seven teams, Joey? Seven other teams that finished below 500 last year have spent more than the Red Sox this offseason. Who you got?
The Royals, for sure.
Royals, correct.
The Tigers.
Tigers, correct.
Who else has acquired people? The Pirates?
Nope, no Pirates.
Really?
Yeah.
The Reds haven't gotten anybody.
No, the Reds are. The Reds are correct. That is
really who the Reds got.
A couple dudes. I don't know. Definitely, they signed guys. They signed guys.
Yeah. It doesn't take much.
All I know is they signed males. That's it. That's all I got for you.
All right, dudes. All right.
Four teams left.
That's probably all I got.
The Angels, Giants, Mets, and Cardinals are the other four that have signed more players or committed more money in free agency than the Boston Red Sox. The Red Sox
are 20th. Those just don't smell like sub-500 teams. Neither do the Red Sox. But
Joe, remember when they were a top 10 spending team? They're now 20th. The Red Sox are now 20th in the majors in offseason spending. So, not great. And that's just because a lot of these teams aren't like, they're not signing huge players, but they're filling the needs they have, and when the Red Sox are doing nothing, naturally they leapfrog the Red Sox. That's just kind of how it goes.
Right. When you're not spending. So here's my question, Steve. If they're not spending, right, and they're not trading, then how, Craig, may I ask, did you anticipate it going? If you weren't going to pay guys and you weren't going to make trades, then what did you think was going to happen? That they were just going
to
show up.
He anticipated more money being available to spend. That's what he anticipated.
I guess it's not crazy. I just don't like the word. It's
like,
dude, it's not how we anticipated it. It's exactly how you anticipated it because it's how you did it.
The consistent quote or the consistent tone that we get from ownership this last couple of years, sometimes from Haim as well, and especially from Breslow since he's become the new CBO, is like, well, what are we going to do? You know, we're feeling this just like you guys. It's like, no, you don't have the right to say it. It's as simple as that. You're the ones that can dictate who comes in. You're the ones that can dictate who makes what money. You are not the ones that have the right to be like, well, shucks,
Mom,
that's just
Dad,
how it went.
I failed another math test. Can you believe it?
Can you believe what they're doing to me?
What am I doing?
Oh, my goodness. Can
you
see
what
they're doing to me?
I'm going to ground myself. I'm going to take my Xbox, go in my room, and just I'm going to think about what I've done.
Don't even worry about it. Yeah, I don't have. I mean, we've talked about some Breslow quotes in depth before. It was surprising to see that one, though. The things haven't come together in maybe a way that I anticipated. It's a funny one, dude. It's a funny one. Breslow is a funny guy, and he says funny stuff. That's what I have learned so far.
That's the main takeaway, is all the humor that came out of today, all the smiles and laughs that I had.
Hey, Joe, he also said, we're comfortable with the group we have in camp, but we're also going to continue to look for other options. I mean, it's that's all.
What was the one that really upset me, that really grinded my gears, Steve? Do you remember what it was?
No, I don't.
Oh, goodness. Oh, Breslow said, this is from Gordo. Breslow said once again that a time will come when they will, quote, behave as the Red Sox have, end quote, in terms of aggressiveness. A time will come. They will. We'll do it again, I promise. That one really made me go like, okay, well, then I don't need to hear another quote until that happens. I don't need to see the press conferences until then. And here's the thing, 99% of fans, is a high number, most fans aren't going to watch games until that happens.
No,
so
I know.
It's hard to get up there. I mean, it's a weird line to walk because like you want the honesty, but also the honesty sucks. So it's like there's really no winning. it's like, I don't know what the correct answer. I guess the correct answer is like spend money and like, you know, make ownership spend
it's
money.
Let's be honest. That's the only answer. The only answer is to spend and fill the needs you have instead of just waiting for this unproven youth to come up. That's it.
Yeah. But every answer until then stinks. Because if you're lying, you're lying. That ain't great.
If you're lying, it counts as a double stink, right? If you're lying, yeah. It's like a Full Throttle was like a quadruple stink. That is a layers are really stinking up the joint. So you are right, Joe. This isn't too different from what we've talked about all offseason, but when it continues, it's one thing to get a couple quotes here and there. You're like, oh God, Sam probably wants that one back. Or, you know, Tom Warner, I don't even know if he wants the Full Throttle one back. He just wants everyone to know that he lives his life Full Throttle, baby. So he's probably pumped that that one's out there. But you might get a couple here and there when they continue. And I'm a hypocrite because I think 2 months ago I was like, I'm not going to pay attention to what they say. It's the actions that count. I see these quotes and I can't help myself from losing it.
There's nothing else to focus on. That's true.
There's no moves. There's no moves coming in. So what else are we supposed
moves,
to react?
You'd be out of your mind by now. Just staring at your computer waiting for something to happen.
I know. So,
but this one
sucks. Yoshida's the DH.
I didn't.
We got that. What was your reaction to that? Because I don't think that one kind of caught me off guard that AC just immediately was like, yeah, he's going to get the lion's share of DH at-bats. He said that today.
I mean, it seems AC to just come out and say it. That's kind of him to just say something.
He is the rip the Band-Aid guy, which I like. He does just, he's thinking something, Benny's leading off. He'll just like say, like, what?
Yeah, before you guys leading off, yeah.
Yeah, but he says it like that, where he's like rubbing his eye, and he's just like, yeah, so, you know, Yoshida, going to be the DH. You know, happy to have the guys here. He'll just kind of mix it in with like his whole statement. Like, whoa, what? Yoshida's like the full-time DH kind of sort of? Is that what you just kind of snuck in there?
Yeah. Which is weird for, I'm going to say, three reasons off the top of my head.
All right, what's number one?
Number one is that you wanted DH flexibility. Isn't that the whole thing? Mm. Right?
With what's number two? Sorry. No, you got more for one?
No. That's number one. Are you ready for number two?
Hey, Joe, what's number two, huh?
Number two is that if you want Yoshida to be at the DH, then you kind of have an outfield hole and you haven't said for sure that Sadan Rafaela is going to be on the major league team. Kind of weird to just like pull a guy out of a position you can't fill, right?
Which he probably shouldn't be because he's not ready for it. What's number three?
Number three is you just gave this guy a fucking contract last year. He's played 1 year of Major League Baseball. Give him a little bit of time before you stick him in the DH slot? You were just trying to... Dude, he just had a good year with some slumps, but a good year in his first full Major League Baseball season. Way more intense than Japan. They play in one time zone. They take the train to games. They have a day off every week. It's a much more intense schedule. He just got through 1 year, and you're like, maybe we trade him. Maybe we just DH him. Put a little bit of faith in the guy. Three big problems. There they are. That was my reaction to that. That's just all stupid.
No, those are legit, Joey. I mean, the Red Sox approach this offseason has been, we have that at home. That's just consistent. Oh, we need a Yoshida. We got that at home. We already got that. Masataki Yoshida can just be the DH. It's like, he probably shouldn't be. Nope, shut up. He's going to be. So let's just move on. We need a starting rotation. No, we got plenty of starters. We got that at home. Just quiet down back there. We're going home. We got that at home. It's consistently what they've
got. Garrett
done.
Whitlock, dude.
Yeah, dude. We got Whitlock. He's like an ace or something. I don't know. We got that at home. So hearing this was surprising. And the first thing I wanted to do, Joey, was compare Masataki Yoshida's contract to other DH contracts in Major League Baseball. Is it Spotrac? Is it Spotrac? Spotrac?
I usually say Spotrac.
Spotrac. You know how much I hate? I wish it was just like Salaryville or something.
Yeah.
Or like Contract Zone or something. Like Fangraphs, easy to say. Mm-hmm. Right?
I usually say Fangraphs. Is that not it?
Fangraphs. No, I hate to be the one to tell you. All right, let me.
What is it? What did you say? Salary center.
Contract salary zone? Center. Contract zone. Yeah.
Salary.com is a thing. Yeah, we're calling. Zone Baseball.
Who's that?
So got a quick question for you, Jerry. We're recording right now.
Are you recording the podcast?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh. What episode number is it?
This is 186.
Oh, that's my favorite number.
186 is your favorite number?
Yeah, that's my lucky number. Every time I walk down the street, I'm just like, 186, 186, and I always have the best day of my life.
Wow, okay. I didn't know this. So 186 has always been your favorite number?
Yeah. I have a tattoo of 186. I got it probably, I don't know, like 10 years ago.
Okay, geez. I feel like I should have known that. We have a really important question for you. You down to answer this question?
Is it about the Sox?
Not really. It's about baseball a little bit. So how do you, you know the site? It's one of my favorite. What's up?
Go ahead.
Yeah.
All right.
It's about the site Spotrac. It's a great site that tracks all the contracts, and I love it. And it's so useful. How do you say it?
Spot.
That's how you pronounce it?
Yeah, it's Dutch.
Oh, all right. I didn't factor that in.
You
pronounce it Spawa. Okay. All right, that was it. Just wanted to see how you pronounce that.
Yeah, it's Dutch.
All right, good stuff. We will we'll catch you later.
All right, 186, baby.
All right, 186. I should have known. See, I was actually trying to get a real answer there. But I'm a fool, Joey, for thinking I was going to, unless that's actually how you pronounce it.
Area code 186 is China. That got like country code. That could be why you got the tattoo.
Well, yeah, he's always been a big China guy, so that does make sense. Anyway, so we look at the Yoshida contract on Spoirera, and this tracks the DH contracts for this upcoming season, Joey. Shohei Ohtani, $70 million. You know when you see it, like, you know the deal happened, we know the details, but then when you see it again, when there's been a little time that's gone by, and then you see he got $70 million a year.
No,
I know deferred.
In any capacity, does he? That's the thing, is like, that's straight up wrong, because that's not a CBT hit, and that's not what he's pulling.
He does end up making 70 a year, right? Am I crazy? What do you mean?
I mean, he's making whatever it was. Was it 10 million a year or something like that?
I think they track what the guy actually is going to be paid. He's going to get $70 million a year. I know it's all deferred and all that stuff, but
right, so he's not making it.
But the point of this is like he is technically, though.
But he's not.
He's not getting 70 million. This season will be worth $70 million. That's the point of this exercise.
Yes, yeah, sure. But yes, but in no way does he get it, or does the team, you know, towards the CBT getting hit with $70 million. So, whatever. It doesn't matter. Yeah, he's making
I know. But the point just being the value of the player at the position is deemed
getting
by the team.
Yeah, $70 million, DH. I'm derailing this. Go ahead.
You're derailing.
Yeah, I really am. I just realized what I'm doing. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
If you carry the six. All right, anyway. On Spotrac, or however the hell you say it, we got the DH contracts for this year. Ohtani, $70 million. Giancarlo Stanton, $32
million. Yikes.
Jose Abreu, $19.5 million. DJ LeMahieu, $15 million. Eloy Jimenez, $13.8 million. Yordan Alvarez, $10.8 million. Dude, he is like the biggest steal in baseball. $10.8 million. I understand he hasn't, you know, he's not up for the big deal yet. He's going to sign. Watch that contract if he stays healthy. Carlos Santana, $5.2 million. And then they threw Stone Garrett in there. At $770,000, what a steal. So, basically, they have seven guys that are listed as, that are in the DH category and have their, you know, yearly money value attached to it. Masataka Yoshida is set to make $18.6 million this upcoming season. That would be in between Jose Abreu and DJ LeMahieu. Last season, Jose Abreu hit .237 with 18 homers and 90 RBIs and an OPS plus of 87. DJ LeMahieu hit .243 with 15 homers and 44 RBIs and an OPS plus of 96. Masataka Yoshida, in comparison to those two guys that he's around the ballpark in contract-wise for this season, he was definitely better. Hit .289, 15 homers, 72 RBIs, OPS plus of 109. And as a lot of us remember, Yoshida was hitting .316 at the All-Star break, had a genuine chance at winning the batting title before it would appear fatigue had him fading down the stretch, and would surely be part of why they're going to make him the DH, because of their concerns and him playing the monster and how much being in the field mentally and physically impacts him in a negative way when they have him here for his bat. So the more I dug into it, Joey, I'm not going to act like it really bugs me that much. And I'm saying this as a Red Sox fan that has accepted the wrong word, come to terms with what this offseason is and is going to end up being. That, oh, okay, yeah, this is an offseason that would lead to Yoshida becoming the DH. Like, it's not like that's what I was rooting for in, you know, November. But when you tell me that now, as pitchers and catchers and these players arrive and we're, what, a week and a half away from spring training games starting up, it's like, fine, man, you want Yoshi as the DH, go for it, bro. I'm not gonna flip out about it. It is what it is.
I don't know. I think that might be fatigue on your end, because I think
I'm kind of acknowledging that, though. It is Sox fan fatigue.
Yeah, because if this was, you know, in a vacuum, if you just try to look at this as an isolated thing, this sucks. Like, to just,
does it suck that bad though? Does
I
it
think
suck
so.
That bad?
Like, I'm it just shows saying, like, so him, little him faith as, in Yoshi.
Him as it, I don't think it shows so little faith. I think it's like, how can we get the most out of this player, and how can we have him lead to wins over the course of the season and in their eyes, the postseason?
Like, I mean, taking away half of his game.
That's not half of his game. His half of his game isn't fielding.
I mean, it literally is. Like, that's what I mean. It's like taking away
half of his effectiveness, half of his ability to help you win is not fielding.
No, but what I'm saying is it that sucks to be told 1 year into your contract, like, we're better off when you're not in the field. Like, give me.
Yeah, I'm just not that surprised. I don't think any scenario of Yoshida in the field was gonna like blow us away. I thought he was better than I expected. From what we heard, he was better than I expected. Joey, this is, again, it's not like I fully agree with the move. I'm just not gonna act like it enrages me. Like, I'm not like super pissed off that Masataka Yoshida is gonna be able to focus on hitting a guy that for the first half of the season was one of the best hitters in baseball. So, you know, considering the hand that we've been dealt, this is low on my worry list, honestly.
But it points to
it just
other
caught
things.
Me off guard.
It's like, okay, so you lied about DH flexibility, so then why didn't you sign JT? Okay,
you
so
can
you
still have it. I mean, him getting the lion's share of DH at-bats can still mean there's flexibility at the position.
Justin Turner getting the lion's share of DH could have meant DH flexibility. Like, if he, we talked about the numbers already on here. If he, you know, was the DH for 100 games, he could still play 40 plus in the field like he did last year.
But they probably didn't want to play him in the field. I think they're more okay with playing Yoshida in the field than Turner in the field, is kind of what I'm saying.
Sure.
There. But
here's an idea that fixes all these problems. Sign a DH, pay one, give one some money. You had the option to do that. So
Solaire's gone.
It's just another. Well, he wasn't gone for a long time. It's February. Yeah,
imagine
of time.
Their reaction is, what are we gonna do? He signed with the Giants. What do you want us to do?
They
He's
got
gone
him before us.
They got him, but well, we just realized he'd be a good fit. Sorry, guys, too late. Giants beat us. What do you want us to do?
That's the thing. Jeez. Is like you could have fixed this problem easily by just getting a real DH instead of making your premier signing last offseason into a DH. It's just so lazy and dumb. And if you're a player,
doing,
you already have
sure.
little faith in this front office. And to just be told, like, yeah, also you're a DH now, it's like, really? Okay, cool, I guess.
I don't think Yoshida's going to hate it. I'm sure players on the team are like, probably more of the really, where you're just trying to, like I said before, the we have that at home effect is what the Red Sox have been.
You it's wouldn't like, be offended.
You're
going to
do this, you're going to do that.
If you're whatever. Yoshida, you wouldn't be offended? I'd be so offended.
I don't think so. Do you think he enjoyed playing in the field? I don't think he enjoyed. If I'm getting the same amount of money.
It. It's about your team showing little faith in you. I'd be pissed.
I don't think that's what they're doing. I think they're like, dude, you're a hitter. You've always been a hitter your entire professional career. I know it's been in Japan, but here you go. You're going to be our designated hitter. This is what we're making you. Joey, I really don't think Yoshida's taking this poorly. I'm making the same money, and I can just focus on hitting. I'm not going to be mad about that.
I just don't think players look at it like that, or most players, at least him. I just don't think so.
I would like to ask, we probably should ask Duvall this, but it wouldn't have made much sense at the time when we had him on last year. But I would like to ask these players and try to get an honest answer of, like, granted, Duvall did kind of say that.
He did say he likes being,
I should give us more credit. We did kind of ask him that question what do you prefer? And I think he alluded to, like, it's not bad to be off your feet, right? He's like, yeah, it actually isn't bad to get off your feet and you know, get some DH games in. So I don't think he was like, I mean, he talked about how he likes playing center. But these guys, a lot of times the body language tells you all you need to know. And I value that a lot more than what their answers are. Yoshida,
a lot more?
Yeah. What they're telling me with, like, how they're acting than the quotes that are normally lies. Like, normally the quotes are just because they don't want to get in trouble, right?
Right. Cycle the puck. Yeah.
Exactly. When Yoshida was talking about cycling the puck, I'm like, I know he just wants to hit. He doesn't want to play hockey. So I don't think he's really. I genuinely don't think he would be that pissed about this. Like, I'm making my money either way, and I get to do what I love to do, which is hit.
If this is an order from top down, then you know who probably is pissed off about it is Alex Cora. Because if he wanted a bunch of flexibility at that
probably,
spot.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I don't know. Does Breslau
even have
the
who knows what who wants anymore, right? Based on the quotes you get and kind of knowing that they're a version of a lie, they all have a little lie in them. There's just little lies and little fallacies and little kind of misinformation sprinkled in all of these quotes by anybody connected to the front office, including Cora. And mostly with Cora, it's just protecting people. It's not like he wants to say these things. So it's hard to ever know what anyone wants. I'm just guessing Yoshida's not going to hate it, but maybe he does hate it. Maybe he is embarrassed a little bit that a year in, it's like, that's all the time you gave me. Again, I'm just guessing, Joe. That's all we can do because the quotes are so all over the place and they're always just kind of not true anyway. So we don't have much else to go off of. But if you just play the contract game, like, the guys he's around for money-wise in the DH slot, he's better than. So it's not like you're, you know, paying him some ridiculous contract just to be a DH. But understandable, you'd also want to get him playing in the field, which I think he's still going to do. So I don't think this completely takes Yoshida out of the equation. But they seem to be maybe higher on Rafaela than I expected. When they were floating to make the opening day roster, when I was doing my projections, I didn't really factor in Rafaela making the opening day roster. But Cora said today that he'd be the center fielder if that was the case. Did he say he'd be center fielder or play center field? Those are different.
I think he said the center fielder, if I remember correctly. But I think Stats cracked the code. Did you see his tweet?
What did he have?
That if Rafaela is majored, if he is optioned to the minors for 50 games this year, they retain a year of his contract.
Okay.
So if they start the year with him in the minors, it would be like May 15th or something like that. So there it is. There's the answer. There's what they're doing. That's exactly what they're doing.
They're what, starting him in the minors?
Either starting him there or at least optioning him
for
50 games.
Or he's going to be there. Yeah, true. I just assumed he was going to start.
Steve. It's about having
control
of these young players.
I assumed he was just going to start there. I didn't think he was going to start with the Major League roster. So now I threw a projected Red Sox lineup out there today. And a lot of times that's just to kind of see what the fans are thinking, you know. And I kind of knew what the reaction was going to be. And this is what it was, Joy. I do want your thoughts on this. Just to try to project things out here. I'm trying to – the Red Sox have put us in a position to try to guess – the conversations they're having. that, like the real ones, not the, oh, we're talking to team, blah, blah, blah. What are the talks that Breslow and Cora are having about the actual team, about this actual Red Sox roster and what it's going to look like for this upcoming season? And based on the comments today, I floated this lineup out there. You got Duran leading off, playing left field.
Traded.
Devers hitting second. Traded before that even happens. Devers hitting second, playing third. And the three, it took me two players to realize who the hell is hitting third on this team. I have a guy in here that's not even on the team hitting third, and Adam Duvall playing center field. Now, again, we talk about the comments made about Rafaela playing center. I get it. Or if Duran's going to play, whatever. I more put him there because there's like nowhere else to put him. If Yoshida's going to DH and you're going to have Abreu in right or O'Neill in right and Duran in left, if you don't feel great about his arm in center, then it's kind of a, you know, just do the math. It would have to be Duvall in center. That doesn't also mean he's just going to play center every game. He's not even here yet. So, again, these are all just hypotheticals. I'd have Casas hitting cleanup, playing first. Yoshida in the five spot, DHing. Trevor Story at short, obviously hitting sixth. Abreu in right hitting seventh. That just flip-flops with Tyler O'Neill. Grisham, whatever. Second base hitting eighth, and then Connor Wong hitting ninth. Joey, who's in the three spot for this team? Who's hitting third?
Trevor Story.
You think Story?
I think they're putting a ton on Story this year, yeah. I think they need it. He's maybe the one guy on this team that you can point the finger at and say, we need a big year from you.
Where you flip the finger at and say, F you, dude. that would be a good thing. The power rankings for who they need a big year from the most. I mean, don't you have to say like Giolito if we're just going to talk necessity?
No.
Or Bayo?
Yeah.
Well, their necessity isn't for Story to have a huge year of like top necessity. I don't think it would be Story, but I think he's up there.
Giolito's just weird. I don't know.
You said no because you're like, there's no way that's going to happen. Is that why you said no?
I mean, I'm more, when I hear Giolito have a good year, all I hear is so he can leave.
It
just matter to me. It's like he's just having a professional tryout at Fenway Park this year, which is
essentially
cool.
Yeah.
Which is
we're
good
hosting
for him
for an 81 game tryout this year at Fenway. Come on down to see the tryout.
I don't think he's going to make 81 starts, but I mean, if he does, that'd be a hell of a tryout.
Yeah, the second I said it, I was like, yeah, he's not going to pitch in every game, but you know what I mean.
I don't know. In terms of in your lineup, it's really just Story. But
But doesn't that suck? I mean, he hit 203 last year in
43
games. It's
almost like they needed a
right-handed
power bat all offseason. Yeah.
And that's why I'm just plotting Duvall in there, because JD's not going to happen. If you look at the free agent list, the guys that are left, it's like only Duvall that could possibly be that power bat we talk about from the right side of the plate. That's it. Like, JD's not coming back. Soler's signed with the Giants. Everyone else is gone that would fit this role. And anyone saying Tommy Pham, stop. Just, no. This team doesn't need Tommy Pham.
You're just saying that because you're scared that Tommy Pham's going to try to take your shoes again.
That is 100% why. Also, this team doesn't need Tommy Pham. That is, yeah.
Sitting here trying to hype ourselves up about Adam Duvall and Tommy Pham is just...
Pham thing is more like it's... I just don't know if that... He's just an interesting dude, man. He's kind of a weird dude. I don't know if you need to mix that into an already weird team. And just as a player, yeah, he's good. He's a good player. He's good. He's like the definition of an average player. So that's not going to get anybody excited either. So at least with Duvall, when he's really cooking, I mean, he could hit 40 homers if he stays healthy. That's not a crazy thing to say. So that is the definition of a power-ready bet. But looking at the other options, like with Story, he had 203 last year in 43 games. I had three home runs in 2023, 14 RBIs. Understand he's coming back from injury. I get it, all that. The Story camp, blah-de-da, everything looks great now. Defensively, I think he's going to continue to be great. But the three spot, I don't know, man. A lot of strikeouts for him in the three spot there ahead of Casas. But the other options don't really make much sense. I mean, Tyler O'Neill? He can't be here every day. Three hitter? He's hitting in that spot 15% of his games in his career. He's not used to hitting in the three spot. I mean, from him being a righty, like, I guess, but it can't be Yoshida, because then the top four guys in your lineup would be lefties. And the same obviously then goes for Abreu, who, of course, wouldn't have that distinction this early in his career anyway. So I don't know who the third hitter is on this team. And I don't know if they do. I think, Joey, I think you're right, which sucks for what it means. I think Story's the three hitter.
Yeah, yeah. It's similar to the Shohei thing that you said. Like, once you see it, it hits a little different. But once you see what a lineup looks like with an obvious hole that is a right-handed power bat, you understand why all year, all offseason, we've been saying they need a right-handed power bat. Now that you're looking at the lineup, it's like, oh, damn, they really do need one, don't they? Yeah. And there's exactly one option left. And have talks evolved? Have we got a tweet that says they're close or negotiations are heating up or anything like that? No. There's one option left. Just sign him, dude. Just sign him.
Yeah.
You waited till there's one guy.
The weirdest part is that they acknowledge it, like Breslow and Cora today, too. Like, he even acknowledged the need for a righty power bat. Not in as many words. It was, like, phrased in the question. Mm-hmm. He goes, yeah, you know, we know that that's a need. Like he know, like, they're aware. And the guy that literally has familiarity with your organization and when healthy was very productive, for the most part, can just be on the team. And you have, obviously, the money under the luxury tax threshold, the first one, to be able to sign him. So
the only thing could be that they're maybe
his racist remarks.
Hmm?
Yeah, his racist remarks. I know.
Duval
went on that. Yeah, he went on that Twitter rant and was just ripping every race. He ripped every race.
The thing is, you know his history with Polish people.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
Of course he's going to feel the way he feels. He's going to say what he says, and you know what? Everyone's entitled to their opinion. No, the only thing could be that there's some trade talks, so they're trying to get somebody else, but like, what right-handed power bat is rumored to be in trade conversations and this then, late? Like,
who would the Red Sox be willing to give up that would actually make the
exactly?
Trade
they're not. It's just not so, happening. So I don't think, honest to God, dude, water balloon over my head filled with hot water, like hot water. They don't sign Duval. They don't sign anyone. This is the opening day roster. It's here.
Joey, there's moments throughout the history of this show. We've done 186 episodes together.
Yep.
There's definitely been moments where I'm like, Joey, you're crazy.
Yep.
There's also been moments where you say something that I think is crazy, but you're spot on. One of those was, I think this is the roster. And that was like, when was that? A month ago? That was maybe
a month
over
ago.
A month ago. And you're like, this might be the roster. I'm like, stop it, Joe. You're being dumb, Joe. Stop. This might be the roster, dude.
This might be it, yeah.
This might be it!
And all these quotes are going to look just worse. Especially the Breslau one today where he's like, we feel comfortable with these guys.
Now we feel good about our team.
We got a good squad.
I don't know what else he's going to say. He's not going to be like, yeah, we know this team sucks. That would actually be great
comfortable
if he's just like,
crazy.
I'm well aware this team blows. Yeah, comfortable as well.
Comfortable's but. Crazy. That's say you feel really good. You have faith in your guy. I don't know. It doesn't matter. What
you got anything else, Joe? I'm ready to bench it. You got anything else?
No, I'm ready to bench it.
Emptying the bench real quick. Robert Murray said the Padres have had conversations with the Red Sox about Jaron Duran. This is a handful of days ago. It was towards the end of last week. Saying nothing is imminent, but the rumors are true that they actually those conversations happen. Simple fact that comes from this, Joey, is that we just wouldn't allow that to happen. So Jaron Duran's not going anywhere because we say so. I am imposing a challenge, an ITM spring training challenge. Anyone that wants to join me, by all means. I've done this in the past and I've failed. I'm going to succeed this time. For the last 5 years, I have very passively, very casually, very lack of efforty, tried to get below 200 pounds, Joey. And yep. I'm going to do it this time. I'm going to do it this time.
Very little time, dude.
By Fenway opening day, I am 210 pounds right now. So that's the last 10's the hardest. That's what they say. Mm-hmm. So I got to get to 199 by Fenway opening day, or one of our listeners is going to get a David Ortiz autographed baseball. That's what I'm putting on the line. A Poppy autographed ball is on the line. Should I put more or less? Do you think that feels right?
I think you should do 500 David Ortiz signed baseballs.
500 David Ortiz signed baseballs are on the line if I weigh 200 pounds or more. Key distinction here, Joey, by Fenway opening day.
Yeah.
Because they start on the West Coast, so it buys me a little more time. Fenway opening day.
Wait. All right, so you're not going to do 500 balls. Because you're not going to do 500 balls, and you're not going to hit 200 pounds. So here's what's actually going to happen. we're going to weigh you.
You already saying I'm not going to be able to do this?
No. We're going to weigh you at Fenway. I'm going to videotape it. And then I think the punishment is you give away the one ball. Yeah. Or five if you're feeling generous, if you feel like you're a good guy. You could do five. That'd be really nice of you. Every ITM listener who sees you gets to call you fatty all year if you don't.
Okay, all right. That actually is some good motivation. Yeah, I don't want that. I don't want that at all. All right. If I'm 200 or more by Fenway opening day, we're going to bring a scale to opening day. Then I'm giving out a David Ortiz autographed baseball to one of the listeners of this program, and any ITM listener can just, to my face, call me a fatty at Fenway Park. All season long, and I can't say anything about it.
Not a fatty. They address you at, they're like, oh, Joey, as fatty.
That's definitely worse than, I would have taken a fatty over that. That's worse than fatty.
See, I'm trying to motivate you, dude. Do you see what I'm doing here? I'm being a good friend right now.
I just become fatty? Oh, that's actually way worse. Okay, yeah. I'm going to, Joey, I think my biggest motivation is the ease in which you said, I'm not going to do this, that I'm not going to get
blown. I'm a good friend, dude. I'm motivating
you. There you go. Good stuff, Joe. All right, good. The ITM Spring Training Challenge is just getting below 200 pounds. Anyone else that qualifies that's over 200 and wants to join me, be my guest. We need to have as many challenges as possible to get through this upcoming season. Last thing I have on my bench, and I had tweeted about this, but it is the most Yankees thing of all time to be basically the only team in Major League Baseball that is not going to have a City Connect uniform. The A's also don't, but they're moving to Vegas. They have a reason. They actually have zero fans, and they're moving to a different city. So it's, I totally get they're not going to be like, let's launch City Connect uniforms. They don't count. Nine teams, including the Dodgers for a second time, which I really have a problem with. Like, I don't, when was it introduced that you could have another City Connect? I didn't know that was even possible, but the Dodgers were like, yeah, if you spend more than $1 billion in an offseason, you have the right to have a second City Connect jersey. They just kind of make up the rules. They do. The Dodgers do whatever they want. They really do. Besides win real World Series championships. But the Yankees, just par for the course for the New York Yankees to not have a City Connect uniform. There were a lot of people on Twitter that don't really understand what was going on and thought and read it as if I was a Yankee fan or something. And were like, dude, why would you want us to, all we need is the pinstripes, bro. I'm like, oh, this is getting out of hand. And then I love the typical reply of like, who even cares? Why do you even care? Who the hell cares, man, as a reply? Why do any of us even have a Twitter account? Like, why do we tweet anything, any opinions ever, if it's just who the hell cares is the reply? George Steinbrenner has been dead for 14 years. All right, give it up. Give up this facial hair thing. Give up the aura of the pinstripe. It's just pinstripe. Who cares? I don't know. They treat pinstripes like it's like solid gold or something. It's your pinstripes. You have little lines on your jerseys. This isn't like a greater than thou thing. It is the self-anointment of greatness that the Yankees do to themselves is laughable. And like the greater than thou, it's so old and tired. And the Steinbrenners are all clowns. They always have been. Again, George is dead. Give it up. Give it up. You can have George a City Connect uniform. Okay? He's dead. Yeah. He's been dead since 2010. You don't have to keep carrying this on like he's going to come back from the grave. Like, my goodness. And I think it was Hal that said, like, no, we're not looking into that. We think the pinstripes are, you know, suit us well. Something stupid like that. It's like, you were such a clown. And just to put the obvious aside, Joey, not like they need any more of this, but this is normally what rich people try to do. They try to get richer. The money you would make from this is another thing. It's like, why wouldn't you just take the free money of Yankee fans buying your City Connect jersey? And you could make, you know why, Joe?
Tradition, dog.
They would make it, but they would make it the most basic jersey of all time. You know that. And just the Yankee logo would sell worldwide, because it does. I'm convinced that people around the world don't understand how useless the Yankees have been the last 15 years. So they keep buying the hat and wearing the hat. That logo continues to carry weight because it represents New York, which is the most like basic place. That's where everyone goes. Everyone loves New York City. It's just garbage. But Times Square, well, Statue of Liberty, all that. So just make a basic jersey and just call it a day. You can mix it in here and there. I'm stunned they even allowed the Players Weekend jerseys, that they even went along with that when that was a thing. I thought they were going to just not do it. But this is, I saw this and I was just like, classic Yankees. It is so in their wheelhouse to be bigger than a City Connect jersey, be too good for a City Connect uniform. You guys are frauds. And yeah, you suck. Yankees suck. There you go. You got any bench, Joe?
I think mine's more of a closing thought.
All right, yeah, lead us off.
Closing thought. Last week we talked a lot about the Red Sox Netflix crossover docuseries and how we wanted to get into it. So I, working in this business, Steve, you send a lot of DMs. You send a lot of messages. You send a lot of texts.
Yeah.
You know all about that.
Yeah.
I sent one. I sent a Twitter DM to the director of this docuseries. I went and found him. I'm not going to say, hey, you can find him. It's not that hard to find him. And just sent a nice little, hey, listen, I'm a filmmaker. I work around the Red Sox. Looking forward to meeting you. I'm sure you're going to make some great stuff. And just a couple other things, right? Just a regular old, hey, how do you do, introduce myself message. And I didn't get a reply. And I was like, it's weird. It was seen. Didn't reply. And I felt like this was, if there were, you're going to reply to one, it would be this. Just say, hey, yeah, I'll see you there, man. And I went and checked my Twitter. I was like, what would he have seen when he came over here? You know, you look at your own followers and your thing. You know what I mean? Just what does this look like? My pinned tweet is last week's episode, which I quote. Which was me saying, 2024, the year that I weasel my way into this not Netflix documentary one way or another. And my most recent tweet was also, where is it? Imagine playing for a team that has come in last 2 years in a row. Leadership says they're going to try and then rescind that promise and send you out into a season with half a starting rotation. And then you find out some Netflix camera crew is going to be up your ass all year.
Yeah.
So those are the top two tweets your case. On my profile when he came over and I assumedly checked it out. So I don't know if we're getting into it anymore. I tried.
Yeah.
Might have screwed the pooch for us a little bit.
You did your best, Joey. Seeing the scene on the message and then getting no reply, there are a few things that hurt like that. That's a specific pain when someone sees your message and chooses, no, I'm not going to reply. And I believe a lot of those people know that it shows scene. So that's another level of disrespect. I know that you know that I saw this and that I was fully aware with you knowing that I saw this and did not reply to this.
I opened it and went, oh, so you hate me.
Yeah.
You hate who
it makes
I
you
am.
Feel like the most useless person on the planet, basically.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would say, Joe, it's a tough pinned tweet to have for what you sent. Really, is probably the first thing. I mean, that's the definition of a pinned tweet. Is the first thing you're going to see in your profile, and he's like, "Nah, I'm not going to engage with this guy because he's just trying to weasel his way, his words, into my documentary."
Yeah, yeah, and didn't really do a great job of hiding that.
Yeah, no, we'll still find a way, Joe. Well, our hat, like the side of my head's going to get in the background of a shot. I'm very excited for it. Closing thought, real quick. It's on Mahomes and Brady, dude. It's on Pat Mahomes and Tom Brady. Was watching the Super Bowl, as I'm sure all of you were, on Sunday. And as the game got closer towards the end, I didn't know if I was really going to feel this way, like to my core, but I was really strongly, passionately rooting against the Chiefs, and specifically Patrick Mahomes, because the GOAT stuff was really starting to creep in, Joe. The GOAT stuff.
Yeah.
I could already see the headlines. I could already see all the segments. You got a little hint of it. Super Bowl week, Radio Row, all that. People are like, oh, would he be in the GOAT? Oh, does he Pat? Blah, 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 blah. And here's the concerning part, because even with the Chiefs winning, the Niners really choked it, man. They could have won that game three or four different times. It's the punt. It's the punt that messed them up. The punt hitting the guy in the heel, it screwed the whole thing up. I think the Niners win if that one thing doesn't happen.
I mean, the extra point. The extra point.
No, I know, but if we're going to point at one thing, the punt set it all off, and then the extra point obviously isn't great. Weirdly enough, Joe, I feel like if they make the extra point, they still lose anyway, because the Chiefs probably would have had two chances to score a touchdown at, like, the 10-yard line, which I think they do. I think they, yeah, with, like, 6-7 seconds left, I think they would have scored a touchdown there, so I think they lose anyway. So I'm sticking with the punt. But the tough thing with the Mahomes-Brady debate is – I think anyone that's like already like, oh, he's the go, you know, Mahomes is the best. I think anyone with rational person is not saying that right now. It's the hot take thing to say right now. But the worst part is it's just becoming a simple math equation now, where Brady winning 7 felt untouchable when it happened. And Joey, we're only 4 years removed from that, and it's immediately not untouchable anymore. Like, I feel for Brady, because he deserved 10, 15, 20, maybe the rest of his life to live under the public expectation that no one was going to come close to 7. Like, 7 felt like the most, no way anyone's touching 7. And we kind of all said that. This kid has 3, and he's 28, and he's got another, what, 10 to 15 years left? 10. He's not going to win 4 Super Bowls in the next 15 years. 10. I think there's no reason he couldn't play till he's 40. I know he moves around more than exactly. Let's say 10 though. Let's say 10. Right now, water blown over your head, Joey.
Yep.
Will he or won't he win 4 of the next 10 Super Bowls, Patrick Mahomes?
No.
I'm not that confident that he won't, which is why 4 of 10. Dude, he's gone back-to-back, and he wasn't supposed to win this year.
Wait, so I don't think 4 out of 10 is crazy. 3 out of 5, right?
3 out of 5. Out of 6. Yeah. 3 out of 5.
3 out of 5. So you're saying 7 out of 15? That's insane. He's going to win 50% of the Super Bowls in a 15-year span? No.
No, I don't think that's insane. For Mahomes, I don't think it's insane. I don't. Because Joey, this team had no business winning the Super Bowl. So if he can win with this team, what's going to prevent him from winning with other teams? Now, there is the argument that, and again, I'm saying this, I don't want this to happen. I don't want it to be close. I want this to be it for Mahomes. Obviously, it's not. I'd be stunned if he doesn't win another one. But I do remember for that initial Pats dynasty thinking, oh, Brady's just going to, this is just going to keep happening. Pats are just going to keep winning. And then he went 10 years without winning another one after he got his first 3. So that's where I think Brady and Mahomes differ. I'd be stunned if Patrick Mahomes goes the next 10 years without winning his next ring. So I'm just saying, Joey, I'm getting worried. I'm getting worried about the GOAT thing. And it's really just the public perception, because the whole point of the GOAT thing is for public discussions and debates. That's the whole point of it. I am worried about the ammo that Mahomes is going to be able to stack up in the next 5 to 10 years, and as Patriots fans, we should not have had to worry about this soon after Brady retired. So that's really it.
There's nothing to worry about because it's just not close yet. It's so annoying and it's so sports fanny to have that conversation already.
Having it now is stupid. Anyone saying it now is just
and it's
silly.
It's because we grew up watching Tiger Woods. And grew up watching Michael Jordan right into LeBron, more or less. And, you know, all of these people who are like the undisputed greatest of all time in their sports, Barry. And then, you know, a kid comes along and is good for 5 years. And we're like, he's the greatest to ever do it.
Really,
it's like, can
good.
We, you have to have the very, it's, I don't know, not to make this like massive generational statement, but it's just, it's the best it's ever been. I have the very best. Look at what I'm watching, the greatest there's ever been. Just wait, dude, just wait. The whole thing with Tom's, it was like, it was unexpected and it just kept happening. And then the conversation happened after a long time to be like, this is the greatest of all time. Like, people were doing that about Sidney Crosby for like 2 seconds. People were like, he's the greatest of all time. And then everyone came to their senses and was like, okay, he's very good. He's very, very good. He might be the best of this generation. But like Wayne Gretzky exists. It's that same thing of like, do we have to say he's the greatest of all time? Can he not just be the greatest of right now? And then
it's not good
at
enough.
The end of
no.
his career, maybe have the conversation he's the greatest of all. Like, once he supersedes accolades, then say he's the greatest of all. Like, he's 28. What if he blows off both of his legs tomorrow? Is he the greatest of all? No. No, he's not.
Imagine at the parade if he blew out both of his legs. That would be wild. That would be a story.
It's just like possible. It's just possible. To be like there's on the trajectory. That's a
Joe, this, the point of this debate is the trajectory. That's the kind of the point of what I'm bringing up here is that I'm a little worried. Before he got his third ring, I was like, oh, he loses this to the Niners. And I actually thought the Chiefs were going to win. But if the Niners, which they should have, beat the Chiefs, he's 2-2 in Super Bowls. Kelsey's going to retire in a couple years. Who knows how long Andy Reid sticks around. I mean, then again, it's like, who wouldn't want to play with Mahomes? So I'm sure he would just get reinforcements, kind of like Brady had two different careers with the Patriots. But at least now it's like you can't deny he's on a GOAT trajectory, which I just hate. You know, we're homers. We protect our people. And Brady deserves to be miles apart from everyone else for what he did in his career. And the fact that we're only 4 years or what, a year removed from Brady retiring. And this discussion is already here. When Jordan retired, it was 2003. And he didn't have to worry about LeBron comps for like 13, 14 years. Like, he had time to you know, sit, to bask in the glory of the GOAT stuff. And now Tom Brady might be calling Patrick Mahomes Super Bowls for Fox and have to have this GOAT stuff thrown in his face every 2 seconds. So, Joey, I'm not trying to sound like the GOAT people. I know who you're talking about. I'm not trying to sound like those people. I'm just saying those people they're getting ammo. Each year they're getting more ammo, and I'm a little concerned at where this train's going. That's all I'm saying.
Well, when we arrive at the station, call me.
All right. That'll do it. That'll do it for episode 186 of the ITM podcast. Red Sox pitchers and catchers have reported to the fort. And I'm excited. I'm excited for Devers to show up. You know, I just like seeing him. He just makes me happy. Just seeing Rafael Devers, I'm going to smile. You know, we deserve some smiles, dude. We deserve a lot of smiles based on how this offseason has gone. But it's not over, guys. Offseason's not over. So let's all keep buying into that. We will be back next week. And we will be only a few days at that point, a few days away from the Northeastern game. We are close to Red Sox baseball, which is absolutely absurd. As always, follow us on the socials at ITM_pod. Link is in the bio to get yourself some merch. Support the show and get some merch, folks. And that'll do it. For Joey Capone, I am Steve Perrault. Go Sox, kid.